In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us. Renew us and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Thank you.
Creator and ever-living God, we worship your glory, eternal three in one, and we praise your power, majestic one in three. Keep us steadfast in this faith, defend us in all adversity, and bring us at last into your presence, where you live in endless joy and love. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
The first reading comes to us from Genesis 1, verses 1 through chapter 2, verse 4a. When God began to create the heavens and the earth was complete chaos, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind, of which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the sea, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humans in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humans in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "I see I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished in all their multitude. On the sixth day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. The word of the Lord.
Praise be to God.
Okay, the psalmody is Psalm 8, and I'll read the first line, and you read the bold line, please. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are humans that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The second reading is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 11 through 13. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Be restored. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but they doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I appreciate, perhaps even need, order. Friends who have known me for a long time tell me that I'm a little mellower now than I was in high school or college. Still, I prefer order. I read books in sequence. I watch television shows in order. When I visit my mom, now in Minnesota, she will tell me about starting something mid-series, and I just roll my eyes. It's a running joke in our family that reading books or watching movies in sequence is simply not important to my mother. That's not to say that she does not love our creation story from Genesis chapter 1. Whereas I used to cling to the order of the story, what read so well this morning, my guess is that my mom loves the poetry, the images, the mystery. The fact that even though there is an order to the days, there is still mystery. And so because my family talks about how each of us encounters scripture a bit differently, I now appreciate the poetry and wonder of Genesis also. In his classic series, The Chronicles of Narnia, C.S. Lewis's sixth book, the magician's nephew gets at the wonder of Genesis chapter 1 in a beautiful way. Here's how Lewis describes the creation of his fictional Narnia. A small party of people find themselves in darkness. They feel doomed. Then, Lewis writes, in the darkness, something was happening at last. A voice had begun to sing. It was very far away, and it was hard to decide from what direction it was coming. Its lower notes were deep enough to be the voice of the earth itself. There were no words. There was hardly even a tune. But it was, beyond comparison, the most beautiful noise they had ever heard. And then two wonders happened at the same moment. The voice was joined by other voices, and the blackness overhead was blazing with stars. Then the sky on the horizon grew steadily paler. All the time, the voice was singing. The eastern sky changed from white to pink, from pink to gold. The voices rose and rose till all the air was shaking with it, And just as it swelled to the mightiest and most glorious sound it had yet produced, the sun arose. The lion, Aslan, was pacing to and fro about the empty land and singing his new song. And as he walked and sang, the valley grew green with grass. It spread out from the lion like a pool. On and on, Aslan sang all living creatures into being. Finally, the lion was silent. Then neither from the sky or from the lion itself, the deepest, wildest voice that had ever heard was saying, "Narnia, Narnia, awake. Love, think, speak, be walking trees, be talking beasts, be divine waters." Our Genesis creation story is a song too. Not a laundry list, but a holy song. We are quite sure the first readers and hearers of this story would have brought to the story a long and rich and tumultuous history. That history included their ancestors' escape from Egypt, the tribal league they formed for mutual defense in the Promised Land, the establishment of the kingdom, its rocky years of domestic injustice and foreign threat, and finally the destruction of Jerusalem and exile in Babylon. Read with this turbulent memories of bondage in mind, it becomes more than an account of creation, as magnificent as that is. The opening of Genesis is a testimony to God's original intention for creation and human life. As a people devastated by the failures of their past, the disillusion of their society, and their degradation at the hands of captors, it would have been easy for the Israelites to lose all sense of human worth and value. Those priests who gathered in exile in Babylon in the midst of a defeated and demoralized people were reflecting on God in such a way that brought life to their community. They were doing what we are always doing, something big, reflecting and listening to who God is, to God who reveals God's self to us in our lives and in our time. And the God revealed at the beginning of time is the same God we praise today. The Creator was there in the beginning, and it was the Spirit, the wind, the Ruah, that swept over the waters, and it was the Word that spoke creation into being. In Babylon, the priest's view of God was, in their context of exile, a bold proclamation of who God is and who God's people are. God creates order out of chaos, days and months, light and darkness, water and dry land. This is a treatise on hope. The Apostle Paul attempts to give similar hope to the early church, the Christian church in Corinth. Theirs is a corrupt community full of chaos. Paul appeals to the people's best understanding of who they are and how they are to act. Examine yourselves to see whether you are living in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? Become ordered again. Be encouraged. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And then there is this shift. How better to move from this taxing confrontation than to call upon the language of worship that reminds both the Corinthians and Paul of the holy things that they share in common. He says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you." The appeal and the Trinitarian blessing functions in a similar way as the priest's theological reflection did in Genesis. Both bring life to the community, which was full of discord and death. And then we hear the Great Commission in today's gospel text. Go, Jesus says. Here is a final call to match God's initial call to Abraham. Go from your country and your kindred, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now the disciples are to leave home and go to the nations. And the disciples are to do what to all the families of the earth. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is the big moment today, the naming of the Trinity, the ultimate revelation of God's character. And the name is revealed precisely in service to God's ultimate mission of making disciples and of mending the broken world. As is the case for each new generation of Christians, we are now the disciples instructed to make more disciples. God is revealed as Trinity to us so that we might share the revelation with others. that we worship a God who is intricately relational. The purpose is not that they might be better informed of the nature of God, but that they be invited into discipleship. At the heart of the mission is the instruction not of a particular system or specific theological formulation, but instruction concerning all that Jesus has already commanded. Love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. Do not worry about your life or about tomorrow. Ask and it will be given to you. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Come to me, all who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. If any wants to become my follower, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me, and so much more. We are to teach for the sake of obedience to the many things Jesus has commanded, not for condemnation or for shame, but so that all may know the grace, love, and welcome of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And finally, you are not left with commandment or even commission. You are left with promise, a promise of the constant presence of God. This is always the way God takes leave from one who is called. With the promise and sign of God's presence, you disciples today are identified as called people who are sent. God will be with you. This is what we were promised at the very beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, at the birth of Jesus, when he is named Emmanuel. God is. Our hymn of the day is Come Join the Dance of Trinity, and we're going to sing. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We acknowledge one holy Catholic and apostolic baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Gathered together by the Holy Spirit, let us pray for the church and the needs of the world. Holy God, we are in awe of your creative work. Continue that work in your church, making us a new creation that proclaims your presence and love. God of grace.
Hear our prayer.
Creator God, nature reveals your power and glory. Protect water sources, vegetation, and wildlife as reminders of who you are. God of grace.
Hear our prayer.
Redeeming God, you call us to pray for those in authority. Guide our leaders to pursue the work of fostering peace and community. God of grace.
Hear our prayer.
Sustaining God, you are mindful of your people in every circumstance. Heal those who are sick, provide for all who hunger, protect those in harm's way, comfort any experiencing hardship, especially those we need. God of grace.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious God, we pray for the children of our church and community. Provide for their needs, support their caregivers, nurture their faith. God of grace.
Hear our prayer.
Loving God, we give thanks for those who have died and claimed their baptismal promises. Strengthen us to live as they did in communion with you. God of grace.
Hear our prayer.
Trusting you receive all our prayers, we commend our spoken and unspoken prayers to you, O God, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you all.
Look, there's two old ladies sitting up here. Don't ask me any questions. Okay, so Carol read the big old long...
Well, good morning. Welcome to worship service at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year is the Holy Trinity. We especially welcome all of you who are visiting us in person today and those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday today to Dan Landvik. Happy birthday this week to Chase Woodworth, Michael Bites, Jerry Bauer, Debbie Sims, Bruce Winder, Claire Marie Horton, Stacy Rabin, Pat Lute, Todd Kendall, and Alexis Moldenhauer. These beautiful quilts were handmade, are available for purchase, and we're just asking for a donation. If you'd like one, please take one with you today because we will be shipping them out this week. And also, there will be a meeting held immediately after service today for the church council and the call committee together. Are there any other announcements? Julie, would you like to help me with the offering?
Let us pray. Merciful Father, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. And because these quilts are an offering, I actually think this is the appropriate time to bless the quilts, so you can have a grab the blessing and make sure you're touching one of the quilts. Gracious God, as we place our hands on these quilts, we join givers and receivers, recognizing the unity of all your people in the body of Christ.
We celebrate being the children of God.
We give thanks for the variety of gifts that compose these quilts, donations of fabric and thread, the faithful people who cut the squares, design the patterns, sew the tops, iron the fabric, make backs and fillers, tie and stitch the bindings, provide publicity, and contribute money for these quilts. We celebrate the generosity. We give thanks for the fellowship of all who work together to make the quilts, the laughter, the shared stories, the joy of crafting something with hearts and hands for someone else, and the time to reflect and wonder about the recipient. We celebrate community. We send these quilts as a sign of God's love and blessing for each person who receives one, trusting that their quilt will be a source of comfort and hope in the midst of uncertainty and fear, a symbol of Christ's love to those who suffer, a reminder that each recipient is a beloved child of God. We pray that these quilts will serve useful purposes in the lives of the recipients, that they will bring warmth in the cold. May these quilts be messages of care from someone we may never meet. We celebrate hope in the midst of life's trials. We remember those who have received our quilts in the past and pray that they have found times of Christ's peace in their unstable lives. We celebrate the gift of life. We ask that you bless the fruits of this labor and the whole mission of your church, that together we may minister to our neighbor in need. Bless all who give and all who receive, as we are sown together in the unity of your Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And hear a grateful bishop say thank you for your partnership with Lutheran World Relief. Okay, we'll continue with the great Thanksgiving.
The Lord be with you.
Our duty and our joy that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You reveal your glory as the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, equal in majesty, undivided in splendor, one Lord, one God, ever to be adored in your eternal and final glory. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. This is your first or millionth time at communion. You are welcome at Christ's table. We are the guests, and Christ is the host. Come to the banquet, for all is ready. Please be seated. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Praise to you, O God of mercy, thanks be to you for grace.
pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Serve the Lord.